You are about to hear a life-changing message that was preached at the Kodesh Family Church Memphis by Reverend Kojo Orleans Lindsay. Now relax and be blessed as you hear this anointed word.
It gets sweeter and sweeter, day by day. Yes, it does.
Shalom, Masa. In the name of Jesus Christ, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. What a blessing. What a blessing. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. You know, and this thing that our bishop just shared with us, and they thirsted not when he led them through the deserts. Do you realize how it relates to what we are going through? We are going through a desert situation where people are losing their jobs. People are losing their livelihood. People are losing their minds. People are losing their health. It's a desert situation. It's a tsunami. It's affecting everything. But the Bible says that, and you will not thirst, even though you're going through the deserts. You know, one of our brothers got ill and went there, and then all the doctors said, this is COVID. This is COVID. This is COVID. And then the brother said, you know, with these prophetic words, it has been professed. Prophetic utterances have been uttered that as for me, it's impossible for COVID to affect me. So as the doctors pronounced, they said, this one, they don't even need to do a test. I said, they're joking. By the grace of God, to their amazement, actually the test was negative and they actually apologizing. That shall be your story in Jesus Christ's mighty name. Yes, you are walking through the desert, but you will realize you are not thirsting. Bible says you will pass through the fire and it shall not burn you. Like Moses' green leaves, burning bush, which is still green and full of fluff and succulent. That shall be your story. May the Lord preserve your job. May the Lord preserve your sanity. May the Lord preserve your mind. You will not go depressed and suicidal. May the Lord preserve your house. May the Lord preserve your whatever you're paying, your finances. May the Lord preserve your relations, your academic grades, your scholarships. May the Lord preserve you and preserve your home and your family in the name of Jesus Christ. It may look like, Bible says, we will not be afraid of the valley of the shadow of death. Yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil. Why? God is with us. Lift up your hand and say, God, I believe. I believe. I may be going through the desert, but I will not thirst. Yes, waters will gush out for me. I will be watered. I will be provided for. I will be catered for. I will be covered by your wings, by your comfort, by your power. My Christianity will not wane and will not backslide. I will remain connected. I will eat. I will drink. Shorten this desert time. But Lord, whatever the desert is and however long it takes, I know that I look up to the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. Lift up your hands in surrender and pray that, Lord, I may be going through a desert. This desert, may it not take us out. May we still drink. May we not be thirsty. Say it, say it. Let the waters gush out of the rocks. Let the waters gush out of the rocks. Let the waters, expected effect, mankind's expectation of evil will never come to me, will never come to us, will never come to our nation in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we give you glory. We give you praise that we can gather together and pray that the power of the prayer will break through every evil. Whatever danger, whatever evil that is riding on this corona, it will not affect us. Desert as it is, we will not thirst in Jesus Christ's mighty name. Oh, begin to thank the Lord that you will not thirst. Thank the Lord that I will not thirst. My family will not thirst. My family will not be affected. Our nation will go through, but the economy will bounce back. Thank you that the economy will bounce back. My finances will bounce back. My family will bounce back. My relationships, my Christian life will be in top gear, top gear. Top gear. My relationship with God will be in top gear. Yes, Lord, though we go through the waters, we shall not be drowned because of your covering. We give you glory. We give you praise. That no one is dying. We shall not die, but live to declare the works of the Lord. Father, rather, take advantage of this situation that we can even bring more people to the service on this video, wherever we are. Friends and loved ones who hitherto will not pray to God will begin to pray. We'll begin to pray. What the devil meant for evil will turn around for our good. We'll become better Christians, more prayerful, more relational with you. For your word says, draw nigh unto me and I'll draw nigh unto you. We give you glory. We give you praise in Jesus Christ's mighty name. And all the saints shall say amen. Oh, give the Lord a wonderful hand clap and a wave. Hallelujah. Now I want to enter into a time of giving. Bible says we worship the Lord with the fruit of our mouth. And now we are worshiping with the fruit of our substance. Hallelujah. The fruit of our substance. Everybody take out an offering wherever you are. When the Lord says you will never be thirsty, even though there's a desert, it means that you will never lack anything good. Give an offering. Give an offering as a firm consolidation of this promise in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I want everybody to give an offering. Take a good offering to let the devil know that, yeah, I'm not thirsty, although it's a desert, and I'm not going to hold back my offering, although you thought you were going to affect my finances. You will hold your job in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want us to give. Now, all of you, the digital giving is the most important thing, okay? At this time, it will show how many of us trust the Lord. You know, I know that we give all kinds of things. We are buying everything online from our homes, right? We are getting all our supplies online. I ordered rice online by the grace of God. Something I've never done before, all right? Somebody mailed it to me. And many of you, you've never given your offering online before. Much as the same way that you are sustaining your life physically by going and sustaining your life online, learn to sustain also your spiritual life online. Okay? So start giving. So those who have never given online before, you have to register. How do you register? You dial, you text. No, this 9245 is not correct, please. The text you need to text to enroll is 45777. 457, please pull that off. It's not correct. 45777 is the number. 45777. And text GIVE. Okay? Text the word GIVE, G-I-V-E. To the number 45777. All right. And then it will give you the breakdown how to enroll and then to set up your credit card over there. Okay. That's how you should do it. That's a correct way. Okay, 45777. Text GIVE. And it will give you a link that you will operate from. Okay. And then we'll move from there. For those who already are giving text to give, doing it, it's easy. Okay? Yes, dial to 4577 and do LCI space and then whatever amount you are giving. If it's $10, LCI space $10. LCI space 50. LCI space 5. Whatever amount you are giving. Now, if you make a mistake, there's always a bar that will come up. You test in what? If you make a mistake. Refund, okay, and then you'll be refunded if that happens to be the case. Now, lift up your device that you are paying on, and let's pray over it. Lift up your device. Wherever you are, lift up your device. Not only your hand, your device. For those who cannot really give, lift up your hand. God will touch you and also make provision for you. Father, we bless your name. We thank you that we can connect to your sanctuary with our device. Jesus Christ sat at the treasury and watched the widow give just a mite and said, look, he's given everything he had. in our difficulty, we still want to be faithful to you. Look at these devices that are lifted. Bless, give them good news through these devices. And let your blessing sustain us in Jesus Christ's mighty name. Those of us who can't give, Lord, bless us also. May we never thirst. In Jesus' name, amen. Wonderful. God bless you. Let's hear a song from the beautiful choir that is coming to us online. Everything is coming to you through the screen. God will bless you also. But it will not be a screen blessing. It will be real, direct. Amen. Put your hands together. Let's welcome the choir. In Jesus' name, amen.
What a blessing. We are in church. And the devil is confounded and defeated in the name of Jesus. Can you hear me? If you can hear me, give me a wave. Yes. The devil thought he was going to put us down, but God has shown us a way. And we are still blessed, and we're all together in the presence of the Lord. Well, I'm very excited for this part of the service. It is time to hear the word of God. Give me a shout from your house. All right. And it is my pleasure to invite the preacher for the day, Reverend Kojo Orleans Lindsay, to give us the word that God has put on his heart for us today. So wherever you are, shout and clap your hands as we welcome our minister for the day, Reverend Kojo Orleans Lindsay. Wow.
You're blessed. Wow. Oh, you can do better for the Lord. Give the Lord a wave and a clap. A wave and a clap. I see you all. I see you. I see you. I see you, Spencer family. Yeah, I see you, Alex family. Cyrus family, why are you not on video? Come on video. All of you, come on video. May the Lord see you. May you see the presence of the Lord as well. Jesus' name. Amen. Are we good? Song? We're good. All right, let's pray. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We give you glory. We give you praise. Be exalted. Be magnified in this service. Be magnified in our homes. Be magnified especially in our hearts. Lord, we lift you up. May you be the subject and object of all we do. May we not be distracted from our domestic activities. May we not be distracted from our academic activities. May we sacrifice this hour to hear you. Your word says you, yours, is the sure word of prophecy of what is going to happen to us. Not what the physicians say, not what some friends say, but what you say. Your word is a light unto our path and a lamp unto our feet. We give you glory. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. Speak to us. Pour your love on all of us, in Jesus Christ's mighty name. Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord and give him a shout from your home, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, last week, we were sharing about the duties of a shepherd. Or, you know, to feed, the shepherdoral assignment of feeding. All right. Now, let me tell you something. In these days, we need shepherding far more than we've ever needed. And we are, everybody, see, now the same way that they are rallying, they say that people who are physicians in the front line, okay, they are not enough. People who are retired are being mobilized. Everybody is being mobilized to join. In this time as well, we can't leave the work only for pastors. We have to mobilize from all sorts. All Christians must join in to sharpen one another and to make sure that the people of God are sustained and to make sure, Bible calls that we are the salt of the earth. Our impact must be felt in the world at this time. Our impact, as in love, as in caring, our kindness, our reaching out one to another. You see that? So I want us to all rally. And that's why we are talking about shepherding, because it's our year of shepherding. How appropriate that all of us can actually get together and help. After all, the Bible says in the book of Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 17 that iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpened the countenance of his friend. Okay? Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man, God is looking for a man to sharpen your countenance. You know, your looks, your feeling, all those things. Now, listen carefully. In these times, we need to have compassion on one another. All right? Matthew chapter 9 and verse number 35 to 38. And I want to read. This time, I'm going to read from the Amplified. But, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching their synagogues, preaching the gospel, the kingdom, healing every sickness, every disease. Then verse 36. Verse 36 says, and we went about, when he saw the throngs or the multitude of people who were locked down, he was moved with pity and sympathy for them. Let's be moved with pity and sympathy. Like Jesus Christ, we're Christians, Christ-like, for them. Why? Because they were bewildered, they were harassed, they were distressed, they were dejected, they were helpless. How? Like sheep without a shepherd. That means that when you see somebody who is harassed, who is distressed, who is helpless, who is bewildered, who is frustrated, we are talking about somebody who lacks a shepherd. Shepherding takes away all these things. Shepherding mitigates all these emotions. So, ladies and gentlemen, let there be mobilized a shepherd from your heart. May God mobilize your shepherdoral ability from now. May God make all of us shepherds. May that small seed of the Holy Spirit inside of you blossom, bear fruit, become great, get at its best in these difficult times. Like the way Jesus Christ had pity on people who were frustrated, distressed, harassed, dejected, and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. But the interesting thing is that in verse 37, Jesus Christ says something. And he looked and said, indeed, verse 37, the harvest, he said to his dad, the harvest is indeed plentiful, but the laborers are few. In other words, the shepherds are few. The shepherds are few. All Christians have left the work of taking care of one another and reaching out to the world to pastors. That is why the world is wallowing in distress, in helplessness, in sin, you know, in lack. And we sit in our churches enjoying the sure word of prophecy, enjoying the blessing of a nice message after another, enjoying invitations to the party. Ladies and gentlemen, I can assure you, God is looking for laborers. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. God wants to reach the whole world. God wants to show love and kindness to the whole world. But the people that he can use as vehicles are few. And then he said this in verse 38. Pray therefore, so pray to the Lord of the harvest to force out and thrust out laborers into his harvest. Amen. Anytime that you see that the word force or thrust is being used, it means it's against resistance. Today, may your resistance be released. Today, may every resistance that was inside of you that prevented you from being used by the Lord to affect somebody else, may that resistance go away. Today, may every element of selfishness that has kept you, so you just look at the pastors to do the work as you sit in the comfort of your homes. Some of you, you are sitting in the comfort of your homes. You wish that even after the lockdown, service will be this way so that I don't have to spend a little bit of gas to drive. That thought is wrong. May the Lord remove that thought. Make a little sacrifice. Jesus Christ rose from the grave for your salvation. You just get out of your bed, the comfort of your room, to get out there to the church and help the church to reach out to the world. And it's a problem. May the Lord forgive us all our sins. Clap for the Lord Jesus and say, Lord, it's me. It's me. It's me. It's me. It's me. Yeah. Jesus came out of his grave. Just for you. If it was only one person living in this world, he would still have gotten out of the grave to save you. So get out of your bed. Some of you, even this message I'm preaching, you are lying down in your bed. You can't just get up and say, okay, I didn't go to church, but let me sit up and be on alert because it's God speaking through a servant of God. You know? So let's make a sacrifice for the sake of others. 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 That's what this message of shepherding is all about. And last week we talked about three things that you must develop if you want to develop your feeding ministry as it relates to your role as a shepherd. Remember, Jesus Christ is our brother, our big brother. The Bible says in the book of John, chapter number 8, I believe verse 29. Romans, chapter 8, verse 29. Romans. Chapter 8, verse 29, that Jesus Christ is the first of many brethren. You see, he said, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, Jesus Christ, right? His son, Jesus Christ, that he, Jesus, might be the firstborn among many brethren. Among many brethren. So what that means is that we are, Jesus Christ is the firstborn of God's children. And we are second and third. I don't know who's third. I don't know what number I fall in. Maybe, whatever, a million, something, billion. I don't know. But I'm one of the children. God has many. And God wants more. The new birth is for more brethren. All right? So you are a child of God. Whatever you expect of Jesus, God can do through you. In Jesus' name. Because God, he works in a family system. How do I know? Luke chapter 2, verse 49. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Jesus Christ, when he was, as if he was lost, his parents came and asked, my son, we had gone, we've been looking for you. And then they asked, what have you done to us? You have made us feel so, we thought we had lost you. And Jesus said to them, how is it that you sought me out? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? Did you not know? Turn to somebody, tell the person, did you know that I must be about my father's business? Ask somebody sitting by you at home. If there's nobody sitting by you at home, look into a screen and find somebody, focus on somebody and tell the person, hey, by the way, did you not know that I must be about my father's business? Go to the screen and point to that person. Point to that person. This guy, did you know that I must be about my father's business? Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, they call something social distancing, but I came to tell you a new story. There ain't no social distancing. There is physical distancing, but there's social connection. I can speak to you and point to you on the screen socially and connected. Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? Clap for the Lord Jesus. So Jesus Christ, his business is shepherding. He actually said in the book of John chapter 10 verse 11 that I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. He said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sake of the sheep. That is a sheep that the Lord looked at and was filled with pity and compassion. And said, where are the shepherds? Where are the people that can have pity on the world like me? Where are the people that I have shown pity on them, brought them salvation? I'm taking care of them. What are they doing to help? Meanwhile, Jesus said, I must be about the Father's business. It's a family business. So Jesus Christ, being the firstborn, he's expecting that whatever birth order you are, I don't know whether you are the 3 millionth or 3 billion, whatever it is that you are one of the siblings. And he's saying that join the Father's business. You must be about the Father's business. Christianity and shepherding is a family business. It's not the pastors alone. The pastors are not the only Christians. The pastors are not the only brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ. All Christians are brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ. And since God says it's a family business, we all must be about the Father's business. Clap for the Lord Jesus. We all. Amen. Now, today we want to go on. Last week we talked about the Father's business of feeding. We talked about the fact that you must make people comfortable in your company. Make people relax. Because, you know, you just can't come and feed me in a hostile environment. No, you can't. You don't want to eat in a place where they're about to shoot you. A place where they're talking about you. In fact, Bible says if you go to a king or a big man's house, put a knife to your throat. Because many of them, you know, they finish and say, look at him. You see that? Their hearts are not with you. You don't want to go to a place where you feed and their hearts are not with you. No church member wants to come to a church where people don't love them, where there's no friendship, where there's no relaxation, where there's no comfort. So last week we learned that for us to be able to get people into the pastures of God, we must learn to create comfort for the pastor to feed and for us to feed. And we have a role to play in the relationships we build, in the phone calls we make, in the kindness we show to other people, in the way we talk softly to other people so that people can be comfortable, right? Yeah. Okay, so we also talked about the fact that the next thing we need to do to feed is to gather people. We set the gathering of people. You know, we must gather them. We must gently lead them. You know, we must be gentle with people and we must gather them. I mean, gather them with our arms. Okay, gather them with our arms. And I think it was a very powerful revelation to us that the gathering of the people is not the pastor's role. And I'm happy to announce that you responded well. Today I can see that the numbers have increased. You've gathered people. Clap for the Lord Jesus. You've gathered people. It's part of shepherding for feeding. So when you are in a home, you gather your children to the table and you feed them. You feed them. You sit at dinner. Many of you, this lockdown is one of the novelties that ever happened to you. Because you never sit down and eat with your family. Now you have to gather them. Sit down and eat with the family. May the Lord bless you as you do that in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So you got to sit down and eat with your family. All right? Got to sit down. And learn to eat with the family in Jesus' name. And then finally, we said to feed, as in feeding proper. Now, serve the food. That is dishing out the food, the word of God. And then we even quoted from the scripture, Acts chapter 20 and verse 32, I believe, that I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among those that are sanctified. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, so that's feeding, your role as feeding. We also talked about the fact that you need to study the scriptures to get to know. Everybody who feeds must have food. You can't feed without having food. Okay, so now that you know, it's not only the pastor who needs to know about the Bible, but you need to know about the Bible. You need to study the Bible. That's why the Bible challenge that we are doing is very important. You know, now tomorrow we continue with Acts chapter 3. One chapter a day. And everybody must get involved. Everybody must get involved. You read one chapter of the Bible a day. And then you learn something and you write something down. And then you post it on your platform so that other people can be blessed. You are actually developing your feeding ministry of a shepherd. All right? You are developing a day at a time, a day at a time. And you read what other people have posted, and then it tells you, wow, I read this. I did not understand that it could mean this. That's developing your role of feeding. The shepherding assignment of feeding is developed that way. Say amen, somebody. Amen. Well, today we are moving on to the shepherding assignment called watching, to watch. the shepherding assignment to watch for the sheep. The last week was to feed the sheep. This week is to watch for the sheep, to watch for the sheep, to watch for the sheep. Now, when you look in the dictionary, what does the word watch mean? To watch means to keep an eye on somebody, okay? To keep an eye. It also means to detect. It also means to watch means to keep vigil, to stay alert. To be a watchman is while others are sleeping, you are awake to make sure that everything is okay with the house that you are watching. You become a watchman. Hallelujah. All right, so those are the things. To be alertly focused is what I'm reading from the dictionary here. To be alert and focused on the sheep. So, as shepherd, one of the things you must learn to do is to watch, to stay alert and focused on the sheep. To be alertly on the lookout. Look attentively. To observe. As to see what comes or what is done or what happens. To watch somebody's back. So, I have your back. You're covered. I'm watching this side of the road for you. Oh, you can turn. There's no traffic here. You are watching to keep the person safe. Amen. So anytime you see watch, it has to do with the safety of the sheep. Amen. To do with the safety of the sheep, to watch. It means that there is danger. If there is no danger, there's no need to watch. No watchman needs to be there if there's no danger. Anywhere you see ADT, you see a security man, it means that a danger of the thief coming in. So I want to introduce this aspect by saying that John 10:10 says, the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. More abundantly. More abundantly. Now, remember this. Jesus Christ, the Bible says, he's seated at the right hand of God and is interceding for us. He ever liveth to make intercession, for he ever liveth to make intercession. He ever liveth. He's seated at the right hand to make intercession for us. So that's one job that Jesus is doing. He's watching for us. He's watching. He's watching as a shepherd watcheth over the sheep. Okay, so that's a very important. Jesus is doing it, and God is expecting us to do it. Okay, and that can be found in the book of Romans, chapter 8, and verse 34. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather than just relax, rather than just, oh, I'm dead, so, you know, and let me just sleep. Bible says he rose again. Who is even at the right hand of God? Who makes intercession for us. Ladies and gentlemen, all of us has been taken from the kingdom of darkness and death. God has lifted us from our grave through the salvation he's given to us. And the next thing we need to do is also to watch like Jesus Christ. I told you, we are in a family business. The business is shepherding. Okay? So God wants you to watch like Jesus. Be the right-hand man of God on this earth to help watch for the sheep. How? How? The Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 9 that we are laborers together with God. We are working with God. We are co-workers. Ladies and gentlemen, anybody that tells you as a Christian that God is working and you are sitting is a joker. Anybody that tells you as a Christian that the pastors are working and you are sitting is a joke. God says, we are laborers together. Can you imagine? You are God's co-worker. I'm not saying it. We are laborers together with God. Give me New King James. It says something, a new living. You know, we are laborers together with God. The New King James or the New Living says, we are God's fellow workers. New King James. We are God's fellow workers. Amen. So, turn to someone and say, you are a God's worker. You work in the same factory as God. You work in the same business as God. Yeah. God's business is your business. oh, you must be a very rich man because your boss is God, because your employer is God, because the person whose business hired you is God. That is why people that sign up for this job, they are blessed. You are the next person to be blessed because of what you do for the Lord in shepherding. Amen. Amen. Good. Now, how do we do this watching? Number one, a shepherd must watch out for the soul, the mind, and the heart of the sheep. When you are watching, number one, you watch for the soul, the mind, the heart of the sheep. Why? 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 Because, you know, the watching, if you're just watching from outside, it's not, look, there's human beings are complex. There's a complex outward interplay, a complex interplay of the inner workings with the outward. There's an outward manifestation of inner workings all the time, all the time. Now, when you are a Christian, you must be watching out for your fellow Christians, watching out for their soul, watching out for their spirit, watching out for their mind. How can you do that? Are you an X-ray? Are you an MRI machine? Are you a CT scan? You are not an X-ray to go through and to see their souls. How are you able to do that job? As in this corona situation, as the devil is riding on this virus to bring fear, to bring anxiety, to bring depression, to bring loneliness, to bring suicide, God forbid, to bring death. Look, there are many things, evils, that are riding on this virus. But that's why your shepherding instinct to watch for one another becomes relevant. Relevant. How do we do this watching to know what is going on in somebody? The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 27, verse 23 and 24. It says that, be thou diligent. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 23 and 24. Be thou diligent to know the state of God's flock. Work hard. Work at it. I've already told you, we are workers with God. So it is not a relaxation. Any Christian that's just relaxing, you come to church and you're just sitting down. You're just only by yourself. You are not understanding. It's hard work. It's diligence to know, to become aware of the state of God's flock and to look well. Bible says, look well. Look well. Be observant to thy herds, to the people that God has put around you. Pay attention to them. You must look into each other's face to tell what's going on. Yes. Many times, what is working on the inside shows up on the outside. So a real shepherd who realizes that, Lord, I'm working with you, looks out for each other. You look out on each other to find what's going on in the person's soul. What's going on in the person's heart. Yesterday, I told a brother that you need to go to the hospital. The brother had been resisting to go to the hospital for a long time. As I looked at the brother, as I spoke with the brother, I felt that my watching instinct had come. I could see that inside of the brother was fierce. What if I go and they said I have COVID? What if I go and I can't have money to pay for all of the bills that come? What if I go and I can't work because now I'm so ill, they have to put me there? I could see all the fears because I read in the person's soul. I was observant enough. Just by the tone of the person's talking, I could sense anxiety. I could sense fear. I could sense the pain. I could sense the frustration. And I said, man, this is truly the work of the Lord. Because God can tell what is going on inside of you. Before you even prayed, he knows it. He can take just a look and identify, my brother needs food. My brother is hungry. My brother is anxious. My son is distressed. Sometimes you are there. You are depressed. You are looking for something. And miraculously, somebody comes and makes provision for that thing. What do you think has happened? God has seen your need and has sent you help. Brothers and sisters, we must do the same to detect the countenance. Let me tell you somebody who's the countenance. You see, when you have looks, you look, you can see somebody is sad, somebody is anxious, somebody is afraid, somebody is quiet, somebody is angry, somebody is jealous. All those things, we must not just look and walk away. When you see these signs, God is showing you something about your brother, your sister. Reach out to the person. Reach out with a prayer. Reach out with a word of encouragement. And say, my brother, your face is a little different. I can see. Oh, David says, why art thou downcast, O my soul, in Psalm 42 and verse 11. Put your hope in God. Put your hope in God. Why are you cast down, O my soul? So the soul can be cast down. The soul can be depressed. But it's up to you, brothers and sisters, to watch for each other. And to send in these times a word of encouragement, a text telling you it is well. You find a scripture that encourages you. You tell the person, oh, Exodus 23 and verse 25 says he will bless your water. He will bless your food. He will take all sicknesses from in the midst of you. And then you send something like that. That is your role as a shepherd. As a shepherd. Watch for people's countenance. Bible says in Proverbs 27, verse 17, I believe, he says that, you know, what is it called? Iron sharpeneth iron. So does a man sharpen the countenance of his friend. Ladies and gentlemen, don't just listen on the phone and laugh. As you have called a friend and you want to chat, you could see that you've said 35 words. The friend has said only one word. You must step back and wonder, what is going on? This my chatty friend is no longer talking. Is there a reason why he's quiet? Is there a reason why he's only talking sparingly? And that's a time that your shepherding instincts have to kick in. And then ask, is everything okay with you? Is everything okay? Even thieves, when you fake ill, they seem to be a little mild on you. I've seen some before. So all of us must be sensitive to each other's looks. Are they sad? Facial muscles are full of expression. Amen. Facial muscles, just by looking at the person in the face. And that's one of the things that this virus has taken away. We can't even see each other. But this is the time to do FaceTime with one another. I told you, physical distancing, but social connection. This is the time we should see the friendship of shepherding, to tell the person, today I read a scripture. I want to share it with you to encourage you. Today I had a message from our bishop during the prayer time. He told us that although you go through the desert in Isaiah chapter 48 and verse 21, I believe that was a scripture, you shall not thirst. You are going through the desert, but you shall not thirst. He will cause waters to gush out of the stones for your sake. Encourage by looking, by looking in the face, by feeling. Sometimes, not just looking in the face. You know, let me tell you, somebody, in the book of Genesis chapter, maybe that's not even, Nehemiah chapter 2, from verse 1 to 4, Nehemiah chapter 2. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. The Bible says, and it came to pass in the month of Nisan. And then the last verse says, now I had not been in the presence before I was, that the wine was before me. This was Nehemiah serving the king. And I took the wine and gave it to the king. Now I had not been before time sad in the presence of the king. Then verse 2. Therefore the king said to me, why is your countenance sad? Seeing you are not sick. You are not sick, but you look so sad. This is nothing but sorrow of heart. The Bible says, then I was very so afraid. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 3. And I said to the king, let the king live forever. Why should I not, my countenance not fall to be sad, when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lies waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Then verse 4. Then the king said to me, for what dost thou make request? What can I do for you? In other words, what can I do for you? So I prayed to the God of heaven, and he put his request before the king. Even a king, unbeliever king, could look at Nehemiah's face and say, no, it is all not well with you. That's watching. Shepherdora watching. And then ask, what is wrong with you? What can I do to help you? Ladies and gentlemen, can we all do that? If we can all do that, the world will be a better place. A lot of kindness will come. Shepherding. You don't have to be a pastor to be a shepherd. You can just watch. Watch around. You haven't preached, but you have seen just by looking, observing. What you see should prick your heart and send. Look, recently I was in a meeting, and you know, the lockdown, I couldn't find rice. So in that meeting, we're just talking, and as a joke, I said, look, we went to the shops and we didn't find anything. So for a long time, I haven't eaten rice. You won't believe it. 3 or 4 people sent rice to me at the same time, mailed it. And I could see that is shepherding. People became sensitive as they watched. They used their senses of hearing to watch. They used the sense of feeling. They heard the tone. My brother is not having this. And then they helped. Let's help one another. It's an art of shepherding. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Amen. Clap for the Lord Jesus. All right. So sometimes you can watch by feeling the emotions of people. Is a person withdrawn? The behavior pattern. Is a person behaving awkward? Why is a person absent from this meeting? Why is a person quiet? Why is a person late? You know, why is a person, what's it called? Sleepy. Sometimes because they have the sleepless night. They couldn't think. They couldn't sleep. Why is a person withdrawn? One of the things that you have to ask yourself is that, what is it? So what is the reason? Then when they give you the reason and it's not acceptable, before you react. But sometimes when you ask the reason, you'll be shocked. That is not what you thought. It's not because the person is trying to be funny, but because the person is suffering, because the person is in pain. And I've done that a number of times because maybe I was expecting something and I just lashed out, only to find out later that, the person was actually, what came out as a rebuke should actually have been an encouragement. Amen. I remember one brother who, the wife of a brother called a pastor. And the wife said, hey, my husband, who is very harsh and very hard all the time, today we were having an argument and the person broke down and said, I'm going to kill myself. I'm going to kill myself. I'm going to commit suicide. And then one pastor, the pastor was told, said, no, don't mind that guy. He's manipulating you. And the pastor got up and called that harsh husband. And the first words of that pastor was, are you going crazy? Are you going bonkers? Why? What is it that you're doing? Why are you putting your wife in this kind of trouble and traumatizing your wife with such threats? Are you crazy? Stop that misbehavior. Stop. Then that normally, usually harsh husband softly responded to the pastor, who is usually very bubbly, kept quiet. I said, pastor, you heard that I was committing suicide? And this is your first reaction that I'm manipulating my wife? That I am just going off and manipulating somebody that you've been told I'm about to commit suicide? Is that how to treat me? And that pastor's heart just sank and broke, smote him. The heart smote him. Said, man, as I listened to that, today we listen to that and make jokes out of it, but it was a serious, serious abnormality. Many of us, we react too quickly without making an observation. Let's be people who watch for one another. Clap for the Lord Jesus. So watching is to observe so that you can interpret the inner workings of the soul, the mind, the heart, what is going on inside the person. So watch. Use the facial muscles. Use the emotion. Use the absences. Use the lateness. Use even the body language sometimes can tell you something. Don't rush to a conclusion that you may regret. Like the pastor who says, you are manipulating your wife. Meanwhile, the guy was in deep trouble. And that is not supposed to be the case. Again, clap for the Lord Jesus. Amen. Number two way of watching is shepherds must watch for the very lives of their sheep. To watch out for their lives. Okay? Watch out for the lives of the sheep. Amen. Now, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves to them. Why? For they watch for your souls. This can also be relevant to the first one. They watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do so with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable to you. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So pastors or shepherds or people with the Spirit of God who are working for the Lord to take care of his children, they watch for their lives. They are watchmen because they must account for every soul. None shall be lost in Jesus' name. Nobody should be lost. You must watch for the lives, the spiritual lives and the physical lives of the brethren. By the time this virus is over, everybody must actually be uplifted, strongly a Christian again, should not have left the faith, should not have died. We must be praying for the people, for their lives, watching for their lives in Jesus' name, both spiritual lives and physical lives in Jesus' name. And beyond this virus, we must continue. Sometimes people are there who are not in the service. It has not occurred to you to wonder what is happening to them. Are they alive in the first place? Yeah. Is it well with them? You know, I just came from the hospital a week ago. One of the patients that I took care of had not called anybody for 3 days. 3 days. Nobody seemed to be interested until the children were somewhere, the friends were somewhere for 3 days. Then finally the mother had traveled and come back, decided, wow, I haven't heard from my daughter. The fourth day, they went, she called and called and nobody. So they broke through the door and the ambulance, 911 first responders went there. And the person was in coma, was in coma. That person was a diabetic trying to get some fluids. And then she was dehydrated, fell, had been in coma. When we went, the blood sugar had soared to the highest ever that I've seen. Very dehydrated, very jaundiced. Everything was shutting down. But for that mother who looked out for the life, I've not seen this person in a long time. What's happening? This is a time to call one another. I've not spoken to you in a long time. Many of you church members, I've made a phone call. Some of you even have the audacity to reject my phone call. But may the Lord forgive you in Jesus' name. Give a wave of praise to the Lord. But because I'm checking on your life, I'm accounting for your soul. Yes. There was one such person that I had not spoken to for a while. And then I spoke to the person. I called the person at night. Almost I felt in my heart to call. 4 a.m. When I called the person told me all kinds of problems that were going on involving the whole family. And I did not know about it. How did I chance upon it? By that phone call to check on the life, watch for the life of that little child of God. And as she told me about all these problems, and we sat together in prayer through the word and through wisdom to navigate through the problem for each of the family members, it has saved a whole lot of them with miracles and signs and wonders. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Amen. So we need to do that. Acts chapter 20, verse number 28. Look, what am I trying to do? I'm trying to tell you that, look, our church is a nice church full of beautiful people of God. But sometimes our attitude is not as beautiful. And I'm trying to mobilize you. I'm trying to draw your heart to become the heart of God, the heart of Jesus Christ, that shepherding instinct that is watching over. The whole wide world is full of people, but the eyes of the Lord are everywhere. Bible says, beholding the good and the evil. His eye is on the sparrow. He watches upon you. I sing because, can you sing, sister? I am happy. Yes, his eye, sister, can you get up, Sister Ariel? His eye is on the sparrow, and I know that he watches over you. May the sister sing This is how it should be. Your eyes should be on the least of the church members, the least of the employees. You may be in an employment situation. You may be at your job, but send a text. Watch out. Is it okay? And encourage somebody. Can you sing for us? I sing.
I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me.
Amen, amen, amen. Put your hands together for Jesus. Yes. The Bible says in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28 to 31. Look, this situation can actually win a lot of souls to Christ if we will apply these shepherdoral assignments and principles. That's how God works. Acts 20, 28. Bible says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. Take oversight of others to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. Verse 29. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Do you know that what that means? After my departing means that when there is no services like this, when the shepherd is not there, when there is no shepherd, when the shepherd is taken out, wolves come in. After my departing, wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. The devil wants to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Our prayers will save somebody. Our calls will save somebody. Our love will save somebody. In life, generally. Even forget about this virus situation. Generally in life, some will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Verse 30. Also, of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. It means that even amongst us Christians, some of us, the backbiting, the gossip, the evil statements against each other, the accusations, the finger pointing, all those evil words can have negative consequences on people to push us into depression. And verse 31, I like that. He said, therefore watch. Tell somebody, watch. Turn to somebody, say, watch, watch, watch for somebody. Watch. Keep watch. Keep watch. That's how we keep watch. And remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. God says we should watch for the lives of people. We should watch for each other. We should take care of each other. Watch. 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 Watch for each other. Watch for each other. The Bible says that, you know, watch, we can stay alive physically and spiritually. Not isolated. We will not be divided. We will not be factions. Psalm 68 and verse 6, one of my favorite scriptures. It says, the Lord puts the solitary into families. Sets the solitary. He brings out those who are bound with chains. Chains of trouble. Here. Chains. Chains of problems. Chains of issues. Chains. Troubles. Chains. Some people are bound in chains. But God puts us in families so that people will be eased of their issues. Some of you are too quiet, too separated, too isolated. God says when you do that, your bonds never go away. People may be watching, but when you don't tell the truth about yourself, you suffer alone until you die. God forbid. Yes. Some of us, We are in our homes. When I needed rice, I shouted it out in a meeting. And three different people sent me rice. When I need help, I say it. Some of you are too quiet and unto yourself. Today, open up. Open up. Open up. Send text. When we have meetings, join. When we have prayer meetings, join. When we have, there's this prayer meeting that we have every hour. Some of you have never joined. Yeah, never joined. Join. When there's a problem, talk. I told one brother, you've had all this problem, fever for several days. You haven't said it. Why? Some of you are afraid in case that they will say you have COVID. Forget about it. Talk to somebody. Amen. Bible says he sets a solitary into families. And let us know what we can do to make your situation better by the grace of God. Amen. All right. Yeah. But Bible says, but the rebellious will actually occupy dry land. The rebellious. All right. Now, listen to this carefully. Bible says in John 10, verse 10 to 13. I love this. John 10. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, and to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. You make a little sacrifice. Spend some time to chat with the little children. Yeah, for example, I gather the children and I chat with them. I'm going to gather. We're going to have meetings after this church service. We're going to divide the church into four. You know where you belong. There will be the shepherd's group. There will be the, special forces group. There will be the Jesus lovers group. And there will be the what? Strong Christian Academy. Maybe you don't belong anywhere. Join one of them. There's going to be a 30-minute teaching, questions and answers and things like that. So join. Join something. He puts you in a family for a purpose. So we can watch for you. We can pray for you. We can lay hands on you. We can speak to you. We can account for you, one another. Yeah. Social, in fact, let me put it this way. Physical distance is okay. But there might be social connection and there must be spiritual accountability. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Yes, that's our mantra. Physical distance, but social connection and spiritual accountability. You will not die. You will not die spiritually. You will not die physically. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So it goes on to say, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. John 10, verse 12, then. Verse 12. But he that is a hireling, not a real shepherd, and not a real shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, take ownership of God's sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches them, and the sheep are scattered. Verse 13. The hireling fleeth because he's a hireling and does not care for the sheep. What's another word for hireling? Can another translation come? He's a hireling. He's not a real shepherd. Ladies and gentlemen, not all Christians are Christians. Not all Christians love. Not all Christians have the Spirit of God to understand what I'm saying, that we must take care of each other and be shepherds. Not all Christians are willing to share. Some of us are hoarding. All the rice I didn't find is in some of your homes. And you will not share with anybody. Some of you, you have sanitizers, hand sanitizers, that are, even after the virus, you can't use it the whole year. Tell us and let's collect it and give to some other church members, give to some other people. Yeah. All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, the hireling runs away. But if you are a shepherd at your heart, you care for the Lord's sheep, you start watching out for people. Watching for their lives, spiritual lives. You start posting your Bible challenge so that somebody will be encouraged by what you learned. But you've kept it to yourself. You read the Bible. You read the chapter, but you didn't post anything. It's a form of selfishness. Yeah. You come on the video, but you say, I'm not going to come on the video. You come on the line, you shut off the video. You don't want, when people see you, they are encouraged. Wow, I haven't seen Sister Tulim Jali for a long time. I haven't seen Sister Rosemary Flower for a long time. I haven't seen Sister Sugar Plum, Sugar Loom, all these things for a long time. It's even encouraging. Just dress up and show your face so that we can relate and say, oh, it's nice to see you. Turn on your video, my brother. Turn on your video, my sister, and stop hiding. Stop hiding. So that we can watch for your souls. We can be encouraged by your face. Clap for the Lord Jesus. And finally, the shepherd, a real shepherd, must watch for the souls of the sheep by constantly praying for them and thanking God for their lives. This is where you come in again. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Amen. Yeah. Constantly. Bible says in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, continue in prayer and watch in this same prayer with thanksgiving. And it goes on to talk about prayer until it comes to verse 12. Verse 12. Sister girl, before I... Epaphras. He even mentions names. He says, Epaphras, who is just one of you. He's not a pastor. He's just one of you, just a servant of Christ, salutes you. What is Epaphras doing? He's always laboring, working hard, fervently for you in the workplace. In bed. In prayer. Prayer is work. He's working for the members of the church in prayers that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Clap for the Lord Jesus or give the Lord a wave. May you be the next Epaphras. If you're a shepherd, you will begin to find some work. Remember, God said in 1 Corinthians 3:9 that you are fellow workers with me. Jesus is interceding, praying for the church members at the right hand of God in Romans 8:34. You are now also like Epaphras in Colossians 4:12. Now laboring in prayer for the church members. I'm going to put the names of the church members on every platform. Pick it up and pray for people. Pray that COVID will never affect them. Pray that they will never lose their job. Pray that they are sick. They will never be sick. They will never die. Pray that their family will be well. Pray that they will not lose their jobs. Pray that their Christianity will become solid. Pray that they will have an intimate relationship with God. Pray that their career, their jobs, their schooling will be okay. Their children will be okay. Pray for them. Labor for them in prayers. That's a shepherd's heart. Look, all of you in the video, I have a list in front of me. I pray for you at least twice a week by the grace of God. I mention you by name, you in particular. You do not, and not only do I do that, I rally the shepherds and I give them the list. Make sure you mention this person's name, that person's name, and pray for them. But now I want to mobilize you. We need you to mobilize. We're going to pray for President Trump. We're going to pray for the governors. We're going to pray for our bishops. We're going to pray for the states and cities. Each mention them by name. That Lord, keep us. We're going to mention the continents and pray in this prayer warrior war as shepherds to secure God's church and God's planet and God's whatever it is that God is doing. But you must be there. You must join in. You must join in and make mention. Let me tell you one more scripture. Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 15 to 17. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 15 to 17. It says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith, Christians, in the Lord Jesus, and your love for all the saints. Verse 16 is what I'm looking for. I do not stop. I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you, your name by name, in my prayers. Making mention of you in my prayers all the time. For what? For what? Ephesians 1:17. That God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you this Rosemary, you this Dina, you this Drian, you this Kwame, you this Joe, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Verse 18. The eyes of your understanding will be enlightened. God will open your eyes. You may know the hope of God's calling and that the riches of God's glory and his inheritance to all saints will come to you. God's glory and inheritance will come to you. Verse 19. And that the exceeding greatness of God's power towards believers will come to you. According to the working of his mighty power, God's power will work in your life, will deliver you, will send you a miracle. Listen, we mentioned a certain brother by name. I'm sure next week we'll have a miracle. Testimony time. And he says, man, these prayers and prophecies by our bishop and by the brethren as they pray has kept me. When next week, God, when we share the miracle, you'll be encouraged. You will be encouraged. But for now, I just want you to know that God is calling on you to pray, to pray, to pray for people. And the last verse, Hebrews 13, verse 3, says, remember those who are in bonds and behave as if you are the one in that problem. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them. And those who suffer adversity, as though you yourself are also suffering. Don't be selfish and say, look, I don't have COVID. We the church, so we can stand by. We're going to pray for people that have it. We're going to pray for people that have issues. We're going to pray for people. For health workers, frontliners. We want to pray for the governors, decision makers. So that many of them are confused. The scientists, the researchers. This week is going to be a week of prayer in Jesus' name. We are going to put in action what we have learned. The word of God is practicable, practicable. And that's what we're going to do. Everybody, join a prayer line. And if you are not in any of it, we want to put you somewhere. I know that the afternoon hours have not worked for people. From about 10 o'clock to about 5 o'clock has not worked. So all our prayers are going to center from 6 p.m., hour after hour after hour, all the way up to 10 a.m. So the afternoon, people are working. So we're going to leave that and then leave for individual prayer. But the prayer line will keep working and working. Ladies and gentlemen, God is going to touch you. The watching hand of God is going to be with you. We're going to watch for people's behavior. We're going to watch and observe to see what's going on in people, their souls. We're going to watch for the lives of people and pray that they will not die spiritually or physically. And we're going to watch through prayer. Bible says, watch and pray that you fall not into temptation. May the Lord help all of us. Bishop has given us a prayer assignment, 120 hours of prayer in this season. Prayer for yourself and then 120 for your destiny. Everybody has received that thing. Mark it as you pray and enter into the presence of God. And when you get there, remember others. Remember the church. Remember the state. Bible says when Job prayed for his friends in Job 42, his own captivity was turned about. And God gave him double. Whatever he lost, God gave him double. That shall be your story as we enter this week of watching for one another, praying for one another, relating with the world even to call them into prayer meetings, call them into prayer services, and all these things. May the Lord help all of us in Jesus' name. Amen. May you rise to your feet wherever you are standing, wherever you're sitting, wherever you are. Rise to your feet. Put your hand on your heart. Anybody, you want to give your life to Jesus, you've been blessed by this message, the Spirit of the Lord has touched you. You want to commit your life to Jesus and dedicate your life to him. This is your time. You may have been born again, but you want to rededicate your life. Say this prayer after me. Or you are not born again, you want to be sure that if Christ comes today, you will be raptured with him. You will not be languishing in hell, but you'll go to heaven with him. Not even death, but the rapture. Become first. Put your hand on your heart and say this after me. Say, Almighty Father, I come to you just as I am. Please forgive me for every sin I have committed. Wash me in the blood of Jesus Christ. I believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He died for me, and God raised him from the dead. By this faith, I am born again. I am a child of God. Please write my name in the book of life and fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
We believe that the Word of God has come through to you and you have been blessed. Come join our services at 5796 Shelby Oaks Drive this and every Sunday at 9:45 a.m. Be blessed.